you know, graffiti has not entirely disappeared from the American scene. One of our correspondents notes that he saw a bit of graffiti down at 23rd Street, the subway station. It said, "Impeach Alastair Cook." indeed. That's not easy being an ex-king, as most of us suspect all Englishmen are. Or, let's say, a latent king. Is there anybody out there, speaking of kings, is there anybody out there who's a fan of the King family? I just wondered. That would give me cause to consider. if we were able to discover at least one guy.
Yeah, I love him, buddy, come on.
Is there anybody out there, just one, I'd like to meet one fan of stand up and sing, or stand up and cheer, whatever that thing is, where those people run around all the time, jump up and down and sing God Bless America. You seen that show? You haven't seen Stand Up and Cheer? I'm delighted to hear that. I have hope for you then. Well, listen, speaking of hope, tonight, since the thing that is on most people's mind these days, and it's interesting to find people with things on their mind for a change. Well, you have to think about that one a little bit. I know it's not easy. The mind, you know, ceases to function when it's not been used over a period of years. It's like any other muscle. I mean, if you don't exercise, your biceps tend to get the lax, and you have problem with your muscles. And if you don't think for years in and years out and years on end, your mind gets to be a little bit like a used elderly sponge, just sits there. But while we're on the subject of elderly sponges, we would like to point out, for those of you who are students of the American scene, and I suspect many of you are, by the way, this will appear on the Blue Book exam at the end of the semester, so I'd suggest you take a few notes. It is now energy crisis time, and we would like to salute energy crisis fans, wherever you might be. And I'm sure that there are many of you who are. It's the current crisis, as I have noted over the years, that most of us, of course, this is basically part of our Puritan heritage and our Judeo-Christian heritage. One cannot exist in that heritage unless one is in the middle of a continual crisis. Good is always coming into conflict with evil in that that particular heritage, and you cannot accept good if you don't have evil around. And it's kind of good to know that we were right in terrible danger of having no crisis at all when the Vietnamese War ended. But luckily, along came the Vietnamese War, when it's pooped out on us, and a lot of people were frantic about that. I know many guys. A friend of mine, for example, who had his house completely decorated with anti-government, anti-Vietnamese War wallpaper, he had it all, was in a profound blue funk when the Vietnamese War ended. But he's been brought back to full, rich, verdant life by both Watergate and the energy crisis. So he's really back in business now. He's got buttons all over his coats, and he's just great. He's got Watergate wallpaper now. By the way, it's kind of nice. And yes, he has a tie that says "Impeach everybody." And he's feeling good about that. And so things are moving. And I think in our system, Judaic, when I talk about system, philosophical, not governmental, it's different. Our philosophical system, we must have crises. And I'm delighted to report that the energy crisis has made many a person feel 10 years younger. He's feeling great. And the chase of a fugitive gallon of gas has given many men excitement in their lives that they haven't had for years. The thrill of competition, the thrill of success too, after you've waited in line for 12 hours at a Texaco station and they finally sell you 4 gallons and you drive out. It's exciting to know that you've succeeded. Many men, their lives have been one story of success after another for maybe 15, 20 years, personal success, you understand. And so Watergate and the allied problems with the energy have given people many a new lease on life. The thrill of the chase is important. And so I would like to say here that the energy crisis, which is now, of course, on everyone's lips, right, George, it is, has brought out many little side and I think very romantic developments. It's the fallout. All crises bring out the best in people. I say the worst, too, of course. No question about that. And that's what makes it exciting. During non-crisis, nothing comes out of the woodwork. You sort of fool around. It's like, can you imagine a football game where nobody played to win? Who the hell would care? You'd stand around there and watch the thing. Although I've had that suspicion about some games I've watched, that's something else. Again, I don't want to get into that ball of wax. I don't want to prod that. Speaking of that, I just have to say, too, along those lines, no wonder the American public is beginning to feel as though he's not really piloting. There's a sense of unreality about most people's lives these days because the world comes to them into their living room on television. And technology has made that a very different world than the world you inhabit. You've noticed that. For example, just the other day, it was Sunday, they had this wide, wide world of sports thing comes on, a great fanfare, on it comes, and I'm sitting there, a couple of other guys were watching this thing, seeing the rain is coming down and sleet and crud and ice and the whole jazz is happening outside, and there is Jim McKay wearing a sleeveless pongee sports shirt, looking right in my eye, and he tells me he's out at Islip, Long Island. And he's there for the demolition derby or the figure eight derby or something. And without batting an eyelash, the camera pans and picks up what appears to be 25,000 people all sitting there wearing sleeveless sport shirts. And some people didn't even have shirts on at all. They're just sitting there in their blue jeans. The sun is beating down. And I wondered, what in the hell part of Long Island is he on? And they just went on. They started to crash their cars. And this went on for 40 minutes. And of course, there is an example, you see, of how you sense deep inside of you that there is no parallel between Jim McKay's life and yours. That when he wants to go to Islip, Long Island in the middle of the winter and have the sunshine, he does it. And you have to contend with life. The rain comes down, crud gets all over your shoes, and you start leaking at the seams. And it never happens. You never see Chris Schenkel fighting his way through a snowdrift, nor do you see any of his golfers throwing their golf bags with a roar of inchoate rage into the water hazard. Now, I've seen that on golf courses. But those shows, you have the tendency to feel that everything's edited, don't you? Yeah, of course. But your life isn't edited. That's the trouble. There's no way to cut out the crud out of your life, snip off the dull or uninteresting parts. You just got to live through them. You don't see that, the dull and uninteresting parts of the conversations between Johnny Carson and his guests. Like, Johnny says, Zsa-Zsa, is there anything that you'd like to talk to us about? Of course, no, I have nothing to say tonight. I just feel bored. Oh, I see. Okay. Let's see. How about you, Victor Borger?
Well, I don't know. I have nothing to say. My foot hurts.
The dull stuff that you get in your life, that's all edited out on those shows, And you wonder why, if there could be a life editing system where you could edit out, large amounts of crud and dross. It's a good word. Large amounts of dross, which tend to bear down upon your head. Those few brief moments. They've always said about pilots flying an airplane is endless hours of boredom punctuated by milliseconds of exquisite, unbelievable excitement. Well, I think that's a fair description of most people's lives. You agree with that? I hate to say it, but it's true. So we'd like to welcome, as a savior from boredom, we would like to welcome the energy crisis. Give me a little majestic music here. And now entering in the wings, a great faceless character wearing chainmail. It's the current crisis, greeted by hosannas, cheers of applause from the news media. I mean, can you imagine the news media without a crisis? Can you imagine Walter Cronkite trying to fill a half hour? He's not very funny, And he doesn't sing well. I've heard him sing. And can you imagine? He's even a worse tap dancer. Can you imagine Walter Cronkite and John Chancellor forming a comedy team, trying to fill a half hour every night at 7? No crisis?
I don't know. Come on, bring it up there, Herb. Thank you.
Rich and deep and full. And so tonight we would like to salute the energy crisis, which has given many of us a lease on life. A lot of excitement in your life, long last. I mean, in competition, I'll tell you, nothing feels better than to get a full tank of extra shell when the guy next to you is hitchhiking to work and his Jaguar's up on blocks. At last, you're showing who's really superior in the neighborhood there. In this great jungle of technology. Bring it up there, please, Herb. Thank you. Let that soak in. I want them to marinate a bit. Yes, the majesty of our century. Oh, thank you, thank you. That's enough. And you can reset that, if you will. But you don't have to do that right now. I think first we better lay one of those Americans on him. Lay it on.
Your AMC dealers got the all-new midsize car that economizes on everything but comfort. That car, the roomy 74 Matador. And another important advantage. Our 74 Matador comes with an economical six-cylinder engine as standard equipment. And consider this. Matador is the only new midsize car backed by all the benefits of the exclusive AMC Buyer Protection Plan. Which means that under normal usage and accepting tires, if anything AMC did goes wrong with your new 74 Matador in the first 12 months or 12,000 miles, we'll fix or replace it free.
Yes.
Come in today. Meet the unbeatable combination.
Can't
74
cut this guy
Matador
up.
Backed by the AMC Buyer Protection Plan.
Well, thank you, Loudmouth. See your AMC dealer where you get a good deal and a good deal more. Carries his own little band with him there. Oh, hey, listen, important note here. Wanda Hickey's Night of Golden Memories and Other Disasters, which, as you know, was originally brought out by Doubleday and was a bestseller, an authentic, real book. You know, they print bestseller on every book cover these days. Oh, yeah. In fact, I got a flyer from a publisher the other day that says, the new bestseller. Great big, wild-looking poster they sent me. It says, the new bestseller, about to be published by Fig Newton Publishing House. It's kind of an interesting... Of course, man knows wild flights of optimism, but this was an authentic bestseller when it was a hardcover. In fact, if you're curious, you can look it up. It was on the Time Magazine bestseller national list. And it's now out in paperback, and all kinds of people have written and asked about it. Over the year that it's come out, it's been, it came out actually in hardcover about a year ago. And of the stories in Wanda Hickey, four of them, were Playboy Yearly Humor Award winners. So we're kind of proud of that book, and it's out now, Dell paperback, wherever you are. And this Thursday, the 24th, that's next Thursday, we're going to be at Laurel Bookstore. When I say we, I'm using, of course, the editorial we. I'll be at the Laurel Bookstore, 16 West 57th Street. It's right next door to Henri Bendel's. From 12:30, that's if you're working in the area there and you'd like to come and chew the fat a little and pick up a copy of Wanda. And we'll write suitable tender thoughts in it for you, whatever you like. We'll be there from 12:30, that's noon, to 2 p.m., right at noontime. That's Laurel Bookstore, 16 West 57th Street. That's right next to Fifth Avenue there. And we'll be there signing copies of Wanda. And for kids who, you know, can't get out and would have to cut school to make that scene, we'll be there later that afternoon. We'll be there, from 3:30 until 4:30. 3:30 to 4:30, and that's next Thursday, January 24th, Laurel Bookstore, 16 West 57th. And incidentally, if you can't, if you can't make that scene, this book is on sale at all places where they sell paperbacks all around the country. It's a Dell book, which is the largest paperback house anyway in the business. It's Wanda Hickey's Night of Golden Memories. By the way, don't send your book to me to have it autographed. Believe me, I don't. That you're liable to lose it. We're liable not even to send it back to you. So don't do that. That's a bad habit to fall into. Never send unsolicited stuff to people, because then you are definitely responsible for it, not the recipient. Right? You understand that? This is WOR, friends. Speaking of recipients. They get more jazz than you ever believe. This is WOR in New York, of course. A dynamic, angry station. And while we're on the subject of dynamic, angry people, if you are a contemporary Diogenes type, I noticed somebody said that they saw Abe Beam going into a hardware store trying to buy a lantern. Not easy these days. Diogenes would have a hell of a time. And especially if he tries to get by with a kerosene lantern. And if you've been getting up very early in the morning, you know, they've changed the time. By now, we'd like to suggest that you get yourself a great flashlight. If you have to wait for a school bus, WOR has arranged with the great people at EverReady, listen to this, to make 1,000 flashlights available to 1,000 listeners free. You get a free flashlight. Find your way to work. Oh, man, that's making the energy crisis fun. Now, if you could use a free ever-ready flashlight, simply send your name and address to Flashlight, WORAM, New York, 10018. One entry per person. And all entries must be received by 9 a.m. Thursday, January 31st. And on Friday, February 1st, 1,000 entries will be drawn at random. That's a little town near Passaic in Jersey. And they'll draw it there at random. And a free EverReady flashlight will be sent to each of the entrants. I would repeat, the address is Flashlight, care of WORAM, New York, 10018. And don't be a smart guy. Don't sign your name Diogenes and anything like that. They will not honor that. There's no sense of humor in this world. You know that. Now, let's get back to life. Have you got that set up there for me, Herbert? Right. Hold it there. I would like to salute something that's really happening great because of the... wait a minute here. Just a minute. Got to get my equipment out here. Hold on there. What's all this stuff here, for heaven's sakes? Bosh, humbug. Have you noticed that? Humbug's even coming back. Here we go. I would like to salute a man who has made a magnificent breakthrough in the energy crisis division. And it's what one thing that the energy crisis is bringing out. It's bringing out, among other things, a lot of style. It's also making a lot of sick people who are heaving out their guts because they've been siphoning gas. That's dangerous business, you guys. I want to tell you, I repeat, don't try it. If you think you're being funny, forget it. You know, did you hear that on the air the other day? That the Surgeon General warned you? You inhale, man. A couple of cups of gasoline in your lungs and you've bought the farm, as pilots say. Did you know that's a pilot expression, buying the farm? And I don't have to draw a blueprint as to what buying the farm means, do I, Herb? Okay. Some lady says, yes, that's very interesting. We bought the farm, you know, last year, Mr. Shepherd, and... Oh, God. Well, nevertheless, I would like to say that the problem of the energy crisis has brought out some fantastic moments and great style. And we would like to salute the resident of Sacramento, California. Of course, we're living in a very, on the one hand, an exciting age. On the other hand, an age that does everything it can to squelch true romance. Very, very definitely. And so, please, if you will. And now this concerned radio station would like to salute Nix Galaxidis, who, of course, owns a restaurant. Restaurant owner Nicholas Galaxidis of Sacramento, California, bought a chariot and rode to work behind a team of six horses. Mr. Galaxidis explains that he bought the chariot that was actually used by Charlton Heston in Ben-Hur from MGM Studios. Now, that was one hell of a chariot. Did you see it? Oh, what a way to go to work. Six horses pulling him on a chariot.
Recently, the chariot and horses disappeared from Mr. Galaxidas' front yard, and they were found in Municipal Court Judge Alan Fields' driveway. The sheriff's department sent the horses to the animal shelter, which returned them to Mr. Galaxidas. But the judge wants proof of ownership of Ben-Hur's chariot before he will return it. Only in our age do you have to prove that you own the damn chariot that you're going to the races with. It never have occurred to anybody to rush out there in the middle of the Coliseum. Hold it, Ben-Hur! Show us that registration! Can you imagine the Coast Guard stopping Noah to find out whether his boat was properly registered? Can't you see this guy coming into the shopping center? He's coming into the food fair. You know, he wants to pick up a couple of pounds of chopped meat and some bread and a thing full of onions. Set that back. You know, that's got it. Just set it back. You don't have to requeue it, Herb. Just set it in the middle and bring it up, you know. I mean, chariot music sounds the same one end to the other. There's just no way to... Can't you just see him pulling in next to a Ford Galaxy and a Studebaker Lark? The horse is whinnying, rearing, and he climbs down off that fantastic red and gold. You remember it was painted red and gold and had gigantic... Remember the big spikes that stuck out from the wheels with the blades? Oh, I want to tell you, nobody's going to play hanky-panky with you on that thing. Hold it there. Hey, you know, that brings up a fantastic idea. Thank you, Herbert. The guy, you know, goes to work with a chariot. I predict that if the energy crisis continues, we're going to go into all kinds of interesting areas of transportation. Because, you see, the reason the original reason why guys had chariots, of course, was that was the only technology they had at the time, you know. Horse pulling a fantastic thing. And they never worried about a mercury outboard engine or anything like that, you know, on one of those. Did you see the New Yorker cartoon there this week? It shows this great big 55-foot Hatteras cruiser or a big Bertram, you know, big yacht. And there it is. You see it going along what looks like the inland waterway. And the only thing is, it's a little different from most of the yachts you've seen. It's got a whole line of holes going along the side of it, and out of the holes are these oars going down. Yeah. That's one way to solve it, bring back slavery. My God, and I think we'll have to see that. In fact, you know that the energy crisis was, the slave was the original gasoline tank. And he provided the motivation and the motive power for a lot of various types of very stylish vehicles. Now, since the chariot has already come back, it's quite obvious that this chariot is now back and the guy's using it. It's going to work. Interestingly enough, it was a Greek that used it. I thought that was kind of nice. Using a Roman chariot. If you know anything about the conflict between the Romans and the Greeks back in those days, it's kind of ironical, you know, in a way. It's like some big star of the Israeli Air Force buying himself a Messerschmitt and going to work at his ME-109, you know. It's kind of nice. But, it's a little style there and kind of ironical. But nevertheless, I see the day when the energy crisis could bring back many things. For example, the sedan chair. That would be a very stylish way to get around town, wouldn't it? To go out and, Truman Capote would like that. I know some very elegant people here in town who would secretly love to be taken from one posh boutique to the next in their sedan chair. Almost anybody named Candy or Woofy who appears in Susie Shepherd's column here, the column about the so-called society. The sedan chair could very well, and you could do it on a patriotic basis. You know, you could say that you're saving energy. Of course, a few years ago, if you came out with a sedan chair, you'd probably be stoned by the democratic populace. But if you came out today, people say, that's a very interesting idea. And especially if you can get volunteer sedan chair carriers. like if you have 7 or 8 nephews that are out of work. After all, the energy crisis has brought a cessation of employment for many erstwhile useless people anyway. Do you agree? Okay. That's the first thing that happens when there's a crisis. You start cutting out the fat. And a lot of people are suddenly out of work that were pretty lucky to be working in the first place. Be honest about it. I mean, honesty is never a nice thing to accept. It's just not good. So my suggestion is that when the sedan chair comes, that's going to pull up the slack for a lot of people. And another thing about sedan chairs, you remember this, Herb, one does not carry a sedan chair wearing your Levi's. A sedan chair must, has a, perforce, have elegant livery that goes with it. And so a little style will come back to our town. Wouldn't it be kind of great if they began to run gondolas up and down the East River? And, you know, with guys with poles and guitars and all the rest of it. No, that's, I mean, it's got to come. I can also see that the next door to the Pan Am building, they'll have a very tasty stables where guys will ride their Appaloosa to work. And, well, you remember a few years ago when it was very popular for guys to come to work on their motorcycles, their Hondas. You recall that? That was kind of a fatty thing. They all came to work there wearing their little helmets and their blue knit suits. And you know, it kind of gave a little curious stuff. Of course, guys kept getting knocked off. I mean, they were killing them at the rate of 7, 8, or 9 junior account executives a week. Were getting popped off of whipping along on Park Avenue. But that won't happen to you if you're on your average size Appaloosa. I mean, any guy come along with his Plymouth cab and try to knock you off, will have to get his hood kicked in. And it's kind of nice to... I see this all in the works. Can you think of any others yourself that we may see a comeback to? Sure. Well, I see a return to simpler aircraft. Anybody who knows anything about 747s and all these big babies knows that in an average hour of flying, they will burn up as much gas as it takes to keep Newark going for maybe 3 or 4 months. So, but that wasn't the case with the Curtis Jenny or the de Havilland DH-4. And I can see the day coming when guys will go out to the airport and put on their helmet and goggles and take off into a wind. You have to have a wind with a Jenny. You have to have a good wind, especially if you're flying one of those high lift, low power jobs, and you just take off. And I see many things coming back. I can see, for example, people taking a tour. You know that many of the big cruise ships are now having a hell of a time because they can't get fuel. And it's all right. I mean, if you're sitting by the dock there and drinking martinis and stuff in the boat, but when the boat takes off to some place like Benghazi, and you're on this elegant cruise and you run out of gas somewhere near the Canary Islands, that can be very, very difficult, as recently happened, as you know. So I see the day when you're going to see the return of magnificent, spanking, four-masted clipper ships. A little style there. It may take a little longer, but by God, we don't run out of wind. We got plenty of that in our society. And and I could just see this clipper ship. It kind of, and of course, then along with that, naturally, they'll have to come mutinies, various other things, flogging at the mast. And I'm looking forward to the return to that kind of style. Eventually, of course, naturally, we'll have to go through the whole evolutionary. Again, the sedan chair carriers and the guys that are living in the forecastle on the various clipper ships will get together, and we will have a gigantic revolution which will bring back democratic life, and we'll have tumbrils, naturally. You ever seen a tumbril work? You don't know what a tumbril is? Well, you look that up. That's a good word to look up. We may see them. T-U-M-B-R-I-L. Any of you out there are curious where we're heading, look up the word tumbril. That'll be your homework for tonight. And while you're contemplating that, hit the money button, please.
This is Mrs. Dolores Saunders. Mrs. Saunders, tell us what happened to you today at the Acme Market.
Well, a gentleman came up to me while I was checking out, asked me if I would like to comparison shop. I thought it over, said yes, and he told me to go to another store.
A store of your choice?
A store of my choice,
and
yes.
What did you do?
And I bought these same items.
You duplicated your Acme order at that other store?
Yes, I did.
Okay, now you've come back. How much was the total from the other store?
$29.08.
How about the total here at Acme?
$27.22.
Now, have you figured out the savings?
Yes, it was $1.86.
$1.86 less for the items you bought here at Acme?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Saunders, have we convinced you now that Acme Super Saver is the place for super savings?
Yes, you have.
Did you have fun?
Yes, I did.
Great. Thanks ever so much. Come on. Find out for yourself. You'll save more at Acme and Super Saver.
Gee, that was an exciting little drama, wasn't it? Certainly was. When it opened up there, I thought it was going to go in a different direction, though. When this guy came out with a very angry voice, "What happened to you today at the market?" I thought she was going to say, "This guy came up and he grabbed a hold of me, and the next thing I knew..." Well, it's the Frank Art Furniture Center's January clearance sale may be your last chance to get a real bargain. Have you noticed, in spite of inflation, everybody's telling you you're getting great bargains. Prices are shooting up on everything, including furniture. But Frank Art's January clearance prices are actually down because they're clearing out their immense 160,000 square foot warehouse to make room for 1974 Daveds. Stuff like that. Have you noticed, Herb, that furniture is getting to be yearly like that? Are you living with 1962 furniture? God, it must be depressing living your life, Herb. But never... it gives me a bad look. But they're clearing out all the 73 stuff and make room for the 74 furniture. And here's your chance to make a killing in New Rochelle at 543 Main Street. This is Frank Art. Stores also in Scarsdale, the Bronx, Paramus, and Pinebrook. Okay. I know it's Paramus. Will you quit yelling? Won't do you any good to yell at the radio. They haven't invented it so that it comes yelling back at us. Although, wait till the day comes. That's going to be good. That'll be the end of... can you imagine if they fixed up a thing where that has to be the next step after color TV. Everybody's got color now. Reciprocal television, they'd call it. You sit in front of your TV set. Of course, you'd have to pay every 15 minutes if you want to use this device on it, but it gives you a chance to holler back at the TV. And it's registered on the wall of the studio where whoever the guy that's doing the news or whatever, whoever is doing this, all of a sudden it all starts lighting up, see, and all over the country. He gets green ones if they like what he says, and he gets red ones if they hate what he says. And he gets a yellow warning light if they're on their way down to the studio to burn it down. So, let's see. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting here your train of thought, and I don't want to do that. Your train of thought, of course, concerns itself almost exclusively with the commercial world in there, right? Hey, we have one more note here. Cheers Steakhouse is 15 minutes from all theaters, just around the corner from all transportation. And they have a popular Horn of Plenty, a complete dinner with hospitality, champagne. This thing here, it's terrible. It's a misprint. It's kind of blurry, you know, like Ditto paper often gets. It says a complete dinner with hospital champagne, which is unbelievable. That is unbelievable, friends. At $7.95. Just quoting. I don't make the news, friends. I only quote it. Cheers Steakhouse, 15 minutes from all theaters. It's a good restaurant. And where is it? Well, it's 120 West 41st Street. Matter of actual fact, it's right downstairs from the station here. Right? And you can call them. Reservations, 244-8810. Cheers. Cheers.
What a piece of work is man. How noble in reason. How infinite in faculties. In form and moving. How express and admirable. How like an angel. In apprehension, how like God. The beauty of the world, the paragon of animals.
Man, noble in reason, infinite in his faculties, yet so often just plain careless. No rational man ever meant to start a forest fire. So this year be extra careful, because only man can prevent them.
What a piece of work is man. how noble in reason.
You know, while I got thinking about that, while all those bugles were blowing there and the guys were talking about those cars and stuff, it has hit me that judge who just grabbed a hold of that guy's chariot. The last thing that would occur to me would be that the guy stole a chariot. That's not an easy thing to do, you know, to pull a heist on a chariot. It's very, very colorful and highly conspicuous. You do not walk up, you know, with a lock jimmy, and jimmy the lock on the chariot, and you know, wheel it away and take it down to the used chariot place, or sell the parts. You could probably sell the parts. You'd strip it down, right? That's the way you'd sell a chariot. You just can't go out and, because you don't get much of a trade on them. Any of you have tried to trade in a chariot recently out on Utopia Parkway at a used car lot? No, you don't get much of on anything, as a matter of fact. Have you noticed that? You just don't get anything on it. Have you noticed how worthless everything you own is, as opposed to how valuable everything that anybody who's selling anything is? The same thing? I mean, yeah, you buy yourself a television set that costs you $592, and you say, well, gee, you know, have you ever tried to trade it in or sell it? 5 minutes later, it's worth maybe $15, $20. So what are you talking about? That kind of junk. We'll just do it as a favor to you here. We'll take it off your hands. What we'll do it, we're going to, you know, use it to heat the place up. We'll burn the cabinet and kick the cockroaches out of the power supply. And but that's the way of life. It's always been that way. And it just hit me that you know, the guy with the chariot there, it's kind of discouraging to be accused of stealing the chariot. And then they take his horses, 6 horses. That's a lot of horses, friends. And they took them down to the animal shelter. And by the way, the kind of horses that pull chariots are not your average walking around saddle horse. You know that, Herb? No. Chariot-pulling horses are large horses and mean ones, generally. And, you know, speaking of exotic means of transportation, I look forward, too, to seeing the return of the rickshaw, which would add a certain amount of excitement here to town. I rode in a rickshaw once. Have you ever ridden in one? And I don't mean as a tourist either. I actually rode in a rickshaw. It was kind of embarrassing. You don't know what to say, you know, when you come out of a society where you know, you think of people as people. You don't say, oh, up Blitzen, up Donner. You know, and actually it's these two guys named Charlie and Fred out there trotting away out in front of the rickshaw pulling it. But I did. I rode in a rickshaw, and I rode in a rickshaw in the Orient, of course, which is where they go for rickshaws. And there was one city, I will not bother you with the name of the city, but there was one city that I was in, and I got out of the, there was a steamy, crummy hotel I was staying in. And when you're in a steamy, crummy hotel in the Orient, friends, you are in a steamy, crummy hotel. And it was the only place I could get, and I was in this city, which has since been overrun with about 34 different armies. And I came out of the hotel. It was hot. The temperature was like 109. And I stood there for a minute, staggering in the heat. The humidity maybe 500-600%. And I stand there for a second, and the smell of the Orient, of course, which is rich and deep and unforgettable, assailed me instantly. And I'd been on the road for a long time, so I was not about to become assailed too easily. So I'm standing in front of this place, and I had to get somewhere, see? And it was absolutely hot and quiet. There was nothing happening. It was the middle of the afternoon when everybody takes a siesta or something. It was so hot. And I'm standing there in this fantastic, wilting heat. And I walked back into the steamy hotel, and I says, I got to get somewhere. I'm talking to the guy behind the gate there. He was in charge of manhandling the luggage and selling whatever fell off of it. And I said, I got to get somewhere. And he says, what's all yo? What the, where you go? Whoa. And I said, well, I go so-and-so across over there by just past that second Buddha there. I have to go. And you turn left there at the Double Tulip Gold Temple, and you go down past the Joss Market, and that's where I have to go. Oh, so what? No,
no cab at the Tosawa. And I said, oh, I see. I understand you say no cab. Oh, no cab at Tosawa. Well, I go back out. I figure, well, I'm going to walk, see? And there was a kind of an unwritten rule that anybody who walked at any certain types of hour is open to snipers and anything else. They want to pop away at him if he's just walking around. So I stood around a little bit, and I see going down the street, very slowly, I see this guy pulling a rickshaw. Well, now, at that point, I'd always thought rickshaws, you know, this is kind of a tourist thing that you see in places like Hong Kong. You know, but this was not Hong Kong. This was a real working rickshaw. And so I holler, oh, so working rickshaw! You know, this is the way you always holler in the Orient. At which point, he slowly turned around and came trotting back. And he spoke no known language. And I pointed out to where I wanted to go. Oh, he nods. I climb up in the rickshaw, and I settle back, and it had this canopy over me. And he starts to go. And it was embarrassing to me because I wanted him to walk casually to this place, you know. But he starts to run like Billy be damned. And so I kept saying, hey, slow up. Where are you going? What's the hurry, bud? I have that problem with cabs anyway. They all drive like they're out of their bird half the time, you know, through red lights, the whole bit. Up on the sidewalk, I've been with guys that do that here in town. You know, cut through stores and go on, you know, over vacant lots and up on the top of buildings. But he's running like hell. I keep saying, oh, wait a minute, hold it there. He's running right through the crowd. And as he runs through the crowd, there's little bells on a rickshaw that lets the crowd know a rickshaw and a rich, decadent Westerner is on his way through the crowd. And, you know, he once in a while, he'd holler things like, which I took it to be get the hell out of the way. So he runs, turns right, and we finally arrived at the place where I was to go. He actually took me there. And he was wearing even one of these little triangular-shaped hats, you know, that the coolies wear. You've seen pictures of coolie hats. He's wearing one of those. He's got the sort of a moccasins made out of the bottom of old U.S. rubber tires. Yeah, your tires made out of your moccasins. So he's wearing these shorts. And so I crossed this palm with what passed for silver in that country. I might add that their money there looked like it was made out of old used paper towels. Strange money. Looked like they printed it up with a rubber stamp, you know, and it was all frayed and moth-eaten around the edges. So I threw a couple of those bills at him. And he went, oh, so fast enough, oh, sahib. And he bowed about five times and trotted off in the distance. And I went in feeling decadent as all hell and extremely Western. And I just wish I'd been wearing one of those white linen suits with a crumpled white Panama hat, you know, a la Sydney Greenstreet, you know. But, so I'm just saying that there's a lot of ways to get around the energy crisis. We have not even explored the sedan chair, the rickshaw, the chariot, the four-in-hand, the coach and four. These are all wonderfully exciting vehicles. And it would add a little style to our life, too, as well. So be of good cheer, friends. Be of good cheer. Do not give up. This is WOR New York. You stay tuned for Big John Wingate.